morning. I call this regular scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission. It is 10:01 a.m. With me are Commissioners Brian Fedorchak, Brian Krashus, and Julie Fedorchak. It's time to slow down.
Okay, I know it's your birthday, but I just think you got married.
I only started 1 minute late. I guess I better slow down. I'm not merging names. But,
Mike doesn't know about this.
So we do have a quorum.
We might have a quarrel pretty quick.
Hope you got that, Alyssa. Recorded for history. regarding opening comments, besides oops, the other two things that I'm going to.
Is your mic on?
The other two oopses now. The other two things I was going to talk about are these. First of all, ending today, but for the last 2 days, has been the annual meeting of the North Dakota Association of Telecommunications Cooperatives. A group that I take particular interest in light of the fact that I was a telco director for 13 and a half years and was president of that organization before coming here. And so it's good to get back there and visit with old friends, but it's also inspiring to see those organizations and what they have done in each of their areas to build out what has become such an important function that, you know, once they were just about providing plain old telephone service, and now, you know, the biggest thing they're talking about all day is their broadband service. And so they do a tremendous job. I forget what it is, 200 and some communities in North Dakota with high-speed broadband, and it's a great organization. The other thing I wanted to talk about that we have literally worked on and lamented over for several years is the stream protection rule. And throughout the previous presidency, President Obama's term, we talked a lot about the war on coal. Oftentimes the Clean Power Plan seemed to highlight that. But really for much of North Dakota's coal producing industry, the stream protection rule was maybe even worse than the Clean Power Plan in the way it the negative and adverse impacts that it would have had here. Well, that got put on hold initially by President Trump, and then Congress did their I can't remember the three-letter term, the CSR on that. And anyway, it was just in the Federal Register now. OSM published that is gone forever as of November 17th. And so while it's probably somewhat old news in that President Trump put it on hold, now it is officially gone and something that we don't have to worry about. And now, in fact, a future rulemaking could not impose that. It would take congressional action to impose that. It would have absolutely been devastating. You just almost could not mine lignite in North Dakota under the guidances of that rule. So something to really celebrate, something that this commission worked very hard on and was part of the intervention process and provided a lot of good information and along with allies around the country, I think played a role in making sure that never went into effect. So something for us to feel real good about. Commissioner Krashus?
I really don't have a lot to add. I'm still digesting your opening remarks. So, and apparently it's not, I can't make a motion to suspend said birthday until a later date and issue absolutely no notice of opportunity for hearing. I don't believe I can do that. It's not on the agenda. So no, it's a great day and got a lot of very nice birthday wishes. So off to a great start.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Well, Brian has been on board for 8 months now.
Yes.
And he has definitely learned the most important rule, which is bringing treats on your birthday. So we're all fat and happy with donuts this morning. I want to give Randy some credit. He's being more humble than he ought to be on the stream protection rule. He personally invested a lot of time and energy on fighting that rule. He was part of the team that helped bring out the secretary, vice secretary of energy, assistant secretary of interior, correct? And toured her around to try to explain how misapplied that rule was to a state like North Dakota. And so he really was instrumental in making North Dakota's case. And I think it's also important to note that as we mark the death of that rule, I would encourage the media to look at the language in the Federal Registry, because it is an example of decisiveness that you will rarely see in the federal government. I meant to bring a copy and read from it because it was the clarity that you just don't often see in federal rulemaking and in the code, and I thought it was really well done. And it's an example, I think, of why President Trump still has a lot of support among the working folks in this country, because he tends to cut to the chase and just try to get to the point and not get bogged down in the endless re-examination of policies and procedures. So that would be the first thing. And secondly, what's important about the stream protection rule is that while that rule is over, it certainly doesn't mean that streams are less protected. The reason why the rule is going away is because it's unneeded. And in states like North Dakota, that's a lot of what our regulators of the industry do, is they make sure that the water quality and the water resources in the state are not impacted through the mining processes and are preserved, protected, and rehabilitated after mining. So I think it's just a really noteworthy accomplishment, and I'm pleased to see that is now in the past. I did want to make one other additional opening comment, and that is that as of yesterday, I think I was appointed to the Organization of MISO States as secretary, which is not a big job, but I wanted to make note of it for a number of reasons. First of all, Organization of MISO States is where North Dakota has a voice in MISO. It's one of our strongest avenues for being heard. It's the organization of all the other commissioners in the states that MISO serves. And so we gather and meet regularly and talk about the policies and procedures at MISO and try to develop positions that are consistent for states throughout, and so we can have the strongest possible voice with the MISO board. The governance of MISO is by the board of directors, and there is an exhaustive number of stakeholders that also have a voice. Most of them are equal to our voice. We don't have a stronger voice that I can tell than others, even though we, as commissioners, ultimately are the voice of the consumers who are paying the bill. And so serving as secretary on the OMS gives North Dakota also a seat on the advisory committee for MISO, which is another layer of involvement that, again, gets us at the table and able to be throwing in our perspectives into the mix of what's being discussed at MISO, and that advisory committee advises the board. There are a number of different advisory committees. Thanks, Jerry. And this is one of them. So I'm excited to take that on. It involves, you know, more travel, more meetings, and that sort of thing. But when you see a lot of this stuff that we're talking about today, you will see that transmission costs are a huge part of the rates that people are paying, and they're growing, these costs, and where those ultimately get determined is through organizations like MISO and SPP. So it's really important that we are engaged and involved in there and watching carefully and trying to make an impact where we can. I don't even think I'd told you guys that yet, so now you heard that news.
Well, and congratulations. That is a really important position, and I'm glad to hear that you're on there.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll move to the consent agenda. There are actually 19 items on consent. One of them, upon more reflection, I think merits some discussion, and so I'm going to ask that RC2. I am going to move RC2 to the regular agenda So that leaves 18 items on the consent agenda, plus the minutes, and I would move passage.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, then what was RC2 from the consent agenda? I move the commission propose the November 29, 2017 revisions to the North Dakota Administrative Code and issue a notice of intent to amend administrative rules and notice of public hearing for an abbreviated notice of intent to amend administrative rules and notice of public hearing for publication in each official county newspaper throughout the state as required by law in Public Service Commission citing rulemaking case number PU-17-339, Public Service Commission pipeline safety rulemaking case number GS-17-370, and Public Service Commission wind decommissioning rulemaking case number PU-17-371.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Yeah. And I'll go through these one by one with just a little update, although some of them there's not much, and some of them I think are more significant and should be have things pointed out. The first one, 17-339, has really a couple of changes. One is regarding exclusion areas. Those are in the current rules include things like the distance away from participating landowners and other distance setbacks, but the change here has to do with a new setback requirement of 3 times the height of the turbine from an inhabitant rural residence of a non-participating landowner. And that's kind of always been our unwritten policy. We always figured about 1,400 feet, and with this rule it would count the blades. And so in most cases that's going to be about 1,300 or 1,400 feet. But what this does is bring our rule, use the exact language out of the new legislation that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor last spring. So bottom line is it brings our rule up to date with state law. Probably the more important part of this particular change has to do with light mitigation technology systems. This will make that a requirement for the wind industry in North Dakota. And the light mitigation technology system, when we refer to that in our rules, that will be kind of the generic term for whatever the technology might be. A couple of them that are mentioned are aircraft detection lighting systems, which are the ones we've talked about from time to time with a radar that shuts most or all of the lights off unless there's an aircraft within a certain distance. Another possibility is the light intensity dimming solution, whereby the lights would flash as they always have, but on clear nights, they just wouldn't need to be so bright that you see them for many, many miles away. They could be dimmed down so that the aircraft can always see them for whatever distance the FAA requires. This also leaves an option for other technology that we've never really discussed, if that becomes a possibility. The new rules as being proposed here would require that for facilities that got their certificate of site compatibility after June 5th of last year, 2016, that they be operational by December 31st of 2019. For those facilities that got their certificate before June 5th of last year, they would have to come into compliance by December 31st of 2021. We would be leaving them a little more time since it was something that wasn't part of their certificate. So also, these rules would also allow us to grant a waiver for especially smaller facilities of less than 5 megawatts. The next part of this, and these aren't necessarily connected, but there are three rulemakings that we could do with one advertisement and one day of hearings. The next one regards gas safety, and that's GS-17-370. It would update our rules on natural gas pipeline and facility safety to match updated federal code, and that's kind of the extent of it. The last one, 17-371, again has to do with wind and has to do with the rule package that we adopted and got all the way approved through the whole process last summer on decommissioning. And it's not made abundantly clear in here. This additional rule change would allow us to grant an exemption or a waiver from that for small facilities. This would call for up to 5 megawatts. I'm not sure if that's the right number. It's something we would work out in a full process. So just allows us to grant a waiver of those unique facilities. One example that I've been in discussion with staff with, we have at least one of these that's owned by a university, for example. Do we want a university to necessarily have to put down a bond on that, you know? So on these small facilities, I think there might be room for some waivers. So that is the rule package. I didn't think it should quite be that it, at this point, it's fairly simple because all we're doing is issuing the notice of the hearing coming up once we select a date, which we will do later in our admin portion of the meeting. But it is probably significant and in the news kind of a topic enough that I thought it should be on the regular agenda.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add it, in particular on the lighting changes. So there's a bit of an update. The commission received in October the first notification from a company that they are actually starting construction on the ADLS, the Advanced Detection Lighting System, and that's NextEra Energy is already working on constructing the system for Oliver 3, which is visible just west of Bismarck on the horizon there, and Brady 1 and 2. So they are already working on those. They're, again, required to be implemented by December 31st of 2019, but they're still working through the FAA approval process. But, you know, pending that approval process, it looks to me as if the companies are going to beat that deadline in, you know, easily beat that deadline and hopefully have those systems up and running as soon as possible. So North Dakotans will really notice that, especially during the winter when it's dark at 5 and not light again until 8 in the morning. That's a lot of hours for those blinking red lights and a lot of hours where people are out and about. And so I think that I've heard plenty of comments from folks recently about the lights just surrounding Bismarck. I think people are aware of them more because there's more farms and they're on longer when it's dark so long. So this will be a nice improvement.
Is there any further discussion?
Echo some of the same thoughts, and the reality is more wind farms are put into operation. Okay, there we go. I would echo some of the same thoughts. As more wind farms are put into operation, there's no question that public awareness is increasing. We're hearing it when we're out and about, as Julie mentioned. I'm hearing it as well. And just a lot of questions related to the lights, how that will play out with the light mitigating solutions that will be put in place, but also adjacent landowners. The reality is, as more acreage is placed into service for wind farms, you have more adjacent landowners that may not necessarily be participating in the project, but on the outside edge. And when you're in close proximity, it's understandable that you're going to have questions related to the facility itself, whether it be the visual effect or even in some cases noise from the turbines. So it's just something that you know, have to be taken into consideration as we move forward. And it's understandable, but we don't have just one isolated project on the landscape anymore. We have a number of projects scattered around the state, and it's predictable that you'll have more questions.
One more thought on that. The industry is still fairly new in the country, and it's a very significant resource in North Dakota. And so we're going to have to continue to be on the front edge of developing mitigating solutions for minimizing impact to the citizens and to the environment. I don't think we're done with that process. We're still very much in the middle of it, and we're going to have to keep pushing with the industry to find the best possible way to develop this. It's just too big of a resource in North Dakota. We are too attractive to these companies because of this resource, and citizens in a lot of communities and a lot of landowners want it. So that's why you'll continue to see, I think, this commission taking an active role in pushing the industry to be creative and thoughtful and investing in solutions to minimize impact and allow this industry to develop with the support of the citizens of the state.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Crashes. Now that I got your name right.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission issue a notice of a consolidated hearing and assess filing fees of $175,000 in case number PU-17-270 and $60,000 each in case numbers PU-17-271 and PU-17-322, Northern States Power Company, Advanced Prudence, Biomass, PPAs, application case number PU-17-270, Northern States Power Company, Deferred Accounting, Biomass PPAs, application case number PU-271, and Northern States Power Company, Deferred Accounting, the Laurentian, or I'm not quite sure I've got that right, but we'll go with that, PPA termination case, application case number PU-17-322.
Second.
A consolidated public hearing on the caption cases will be held beginning February 2nd, 2018 at 9 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the Commission Hearing Room at the State Capitol, 12th floor, here in Bismarck. And on June 30th, 2017, in case number PU-17-270, Northern States Power Company filed an application for advanced determination of prudence regarding its proposal to 1. Terminate its biomass purchase power agreement with Benson Power, LLC, to acquire the Benson facilities and subsequently close the facility. The second, to terminate its power purchase agreement with Pine Bend Biomass facility early through a series of negotiated terms. And three, extend the terms of its Hennepin Energy Recovery Center power purchase agreement on more favorable terms. Also on June 30th, 2017, in case number PU-271, NSP filed an application for deferred accounting to defer the costs associated with the purchase and closure of the Benson plant and the costs associated with the closeout of the Pine Bend Power Purchase Agreement. On August 10th, 2017, in case number PU-17-322, NSP filed for an application for deferred accounting treatment for the cost of terminating its Laurentian power purchase agreement. And the considerations in this matter, one, are the proposals prudent, and the second would be whether to grant deferred accounting treatments, as mentioned. And just to sum this up, this started in the 1980s when the company entered into a series of hydroelectric and biomass purchase power agreements that arose generally under PURPA and state implementing statutes. And so we've got PURPA projects and we've got the Minnesota biomass mandate project requirement. And in reading through the material that the company has provided, and I'm just going to cite this. While making a reasonable investment in biomass as an emerging technology was in our customers' best interests, over time the benefits that many thought could be achieved through biomass resources have lagged behind other emerging technologies such as wind and solar. Additionally, our biomass contracts are some of the most expensive contracts on the NSP system. So this will result in... as the company is proposing, and And the case they're making is that this is cost effective for customers. It will change their biomass portfolio to some extent. They are currently just shy of 180 megawatts of biomass. But it was also a trade at the time in terms of keeping the nuclear facilities in Minnesota running and to be able to have spent fuel storage capabilities or to be able to do that on site in Minnesota. They had to have the biomass projects as a part of that to make that work. So we've got the hearing coming up. Definitely hear more detail at the time on that, but I think the punchline is that when you look at biomass projects in general, are they cost effective? And ultimately, for me personally, the biggest consideration is what is the impact to consumers from a rate standpoint. So looking forward to the hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
And that hearing will be February 2nd, is that correct?
That is correct, February 2nd, 9 a.m. Central Daylight Time here in the Commission hearing room. And if anyone would like more information about that hearing prior to it, they can certainly contact the Commission.
By the time we open the hearing, Punxsutawney Phil will have given us the forecast for the summer.
Well, I hope it's summer by then. Not likely, but it would be nice.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next for me, I move the Commission adopt the order issuing Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number 5913 in Northern States Power Company, 150 KV transmission line, Cass County, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-17-322.
Second.
On August 21st, 2017, Northern States Power Company, NSP, filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct an approximate 5-mile, 115 kV transmission line between Maple River and Red River substations in Cass County, North Dakota. On September 20th, 2017, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, which provided until October 20th. 2017 for receiving comments or hearing requests. No response was received. The notice identified the following issues to be considered in the matter. One, whether public convenience and necessity will be served by construction and operation of the facilities, and two, whether the applicant is fit, willing, and able to provide service. On November 3rd, 2017, the Commission discussed the application with NSP during an informal hearing. And yeah, essentially, the transmission line will provide for increased reliability in the Fargo area by reducing overloads on neighboring substations. And if in the current situation, in an N-1 situation where there was one fault on the system itself, whether it's a circuit transformer. That would put things on the edge, essentially, in terms of an N-2 situation would cause an interruption of service for the customers in the area. So it's an improvement of the line to get beyond that and then also to meet NERC requirements as well in terms of reliability.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just add, as I recall, right-of-way issues on this one are all taken care of already. And just very generally, for anyone listening that's not familiar with this, it kind of starts west of NDSU, west of the interstate, west of NDSU, and angles down to a couple blocks south of NDSU, more toward the west side, though, of the campus. And so that's sort of the area where this would be. It goes down to a substation over there on to the southwest of campus.
Right. That's correct. My old stomping grounds when I was at NDSU working out at the livestock research facilities. So it's changed a lot since. What was that, 15, 17 years ago when I was in college, something like that?
Is there any further discussion?
This is just a 5-mile new facility, but it's hopefully another key piece of improving the reliability in the Fargo area, which the company has been very focused on and has had a lot of conversations with the commission on that issue. And we hope that this adds to a lot of the other work that they're doing and helps to increase the reliability of the whole system in that area.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the Commission adopt the order on transmission facility cost recovery rates, Otter Tail Power Company transmission facility cost recovery 2018 rates, case number PU-17-340.
Second.
On August 31st, 2017, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for approval of its 2018 transmission cost recovery rider rates. On September 20th, 2017, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. A deadline of November 7th, 2017 was set for comments and requests for a hearing. No comments or requests were received. On November 2nd, 2017, the company filed an update to its initial filing to reflect the rate of return and allocation factors from its rate case filing on November 1st, 2017. This filing was Otter Tail Power's 6th annual update to its transmission cost recovery rider, and the annual update this time includes one new transmission project, changes to the MISO revenue and expenses, changes to SPP expenses, and the true-up to forecasted and actual expenses and revenues from the company's 2016 filing for 2017 rates. The typical residential electric customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours will see an increase in their monthly bill of $1.03 per month under this. And one of the main drivers was the transmission project, which was the Bagley 115 kV line in northern Minnesota. So that was three new 115 kV circuit breakers that were replacing the existing 115 kV switches, and that total project amount for the Bagley project specifically was $2.8 million, and that's expected to go into service in October of 2018.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just to mention, since that project was in Minnesota, it's also important to note that there was a good number of projects that were listed in North Dakota throughout the state on the Otter Tail system, and so we help pay for the Minnesotans, they help pay for the North Dakotans, the Minnesota customers, and they're spread throughout in combined revenue requirement. This does illustrate what we've been talking about, and the costs of transmission are significant. If you look at the revenue requirement of nearly $8 million, we've had rate cases over $8 million revenue requirements, and these are revenues that come through on a rider. And so our staff does a good job of reviewing them. We have conversations with the company about them. We can have an informal hearing. We could have a formal hearing about these if we had reason to, but I think you'll see the commission taking a harder look at the costs coming through these transmission riders to make sure that the companies aren't double-dipping, covering some in the rate base and some in the transmission rider. We want to have real clarity on that. And also just to better understand the costs of that we're being charged by the transmission operators, and also the revenues that the companies are receiving from the transmission operators like MISO and SPP. All of those costs and revenues funnel through the transmission riders. And so this is an important piece of the mix for reliability. It's also a significant cost. And so it's an area that we will continue to pay close attention to.
Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I do want to add one more point. I jumped ahead a little bit, but the staff does, as mentioned, does an incredible amount of work on these things. And on November 18th, 2017, Commission staff filed a memorandum in support of the company's filing. So I just want to mention that to reflect the good work they did.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and my final item. I move the commission suspend the rates, reduce the filing fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, Transmission Facility Cost Recovery, 2018 rates, case number PU-17-468.
Second.
On May 16, 2012, the Public Service Commission issued an order approving a transmission cost recovery tariff rider pursuant to North Dakota Century Code Section 49-05-04.3 for Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated. On November 21, 2017, MDU filed an annual update to its transmission cost recovery rider. This proposed rate change includes updated electric transmission expenses, revenues, and a true-up amount from the current rate. For the typical bill for a residential customer without electric space heating using 894 kilowatt hours per month would be an increase of 0.99 cents per month, so just shy of a dollar. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are whether the investments and associated costs for the new or modified electric transmission facilities qualify for recovery, two, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and number three, whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of MDU's tariff. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 16, 2018. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine this matter without a hearing. And again, for more information, please contact the Public Service Commission here at the Capitol at 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I don't, maybe it's happened many times and I just never noticed it before, but I don't recall often where we had activity with Northern States Power, Otter Tail Power, and Montana Dakota Utilities. So in, I guess today none of our investor-owned utilities should feel left out.
it's a birthday present for me. Busy day.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. I just have one agenda item. I move the commission adopt the supplemental order issuing second amended certificate of corridor compatibility number 154 and second amended route permit number 166 in Montana Dakota Utilities Otter Tail Power Company 345 kV transmission line, Dickey County, citing application case number PU-13-840.
Second.
On July of 2014, the Commission issued a certificate and route permit for MDU and Otter Tail Power to construct approximately 11 miles of 345 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities from Ellendale to the South Dakota border in Dickey County. This is North Dakota's portion of the Ellendale to Big Stone project, which is one of those MVP lines through MISO. On June of this year, the applicants filed a request for minor corridor and route modifications from the transmission line structures 29 to 32 in Section 20 of Van Meter Township. And so we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing that provided till November 10th for receiving written comments or hearing requests, and we did not receive any comments or requests for a hearing. Basically, this is a pretty small change. It involves moving two of the towers just about 150 feet west and 80 feet west to provide more clearance to a nearby 115 kV line. And they shifted in moving the towers, they had to shift the corridor, which affected the corridor between four of the structures. And so they've certified that there are no new landowners involved. The landowners that are involved have given their approval, and there's no exclusion or avoidance areas identified within the proposed corridor and route modifications. It went outside the existing corridor. That's why they needed to come to the commission for approval. And they have heard back from the necessary agencies involved on this as well, the health department and SHPO, and those agencies concur as well. So I think these changes are in order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, a couple of announcements. Next Wednesday, December 6th, we have a special committee meeting at 9 a.m. What's already on the agenda is case number PU-17-372. It's Northern States Power's advanced prudence case on Dakota Range Wind. I just want to point out that at that hearing, we will not be delving deep into the prudency of that project. This is about awarding a bid for a consultant regarding the ADP process for our staff. Other things could be added to that. One thing that I'm pretty sure will be added will be our one-call grant for billboards that we do every year with one call. So, but anyway, I just wanted to emphasize that hearing will not really be about the prudency of that wind farm, just about awarding a consultant.
And one then, second, you've called it a hearing, but it's just a special commission meeting.
Meeting,
yeah.
Sorry about that. And then our next regular scheduled meeting will not be in 2 weeks like normal. It will be in 3 weeks on December 20th, normal time and place, but December 20th, 3 weeks from today. That concludes the announcements that I have. With that, we will stand in recess, take some questions from the press, and then take about a five-minute break and then reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting.
Regarding the transmission line in Fargo, does that require any siting, or is it too small to require any kind of siting application or process?
That's a good question. I've wondered that same thing. Have we made a decision on that yet?
You don't cite 115.
Oh, that's right, 115. That's right. It's below the threshold. Anything bigger we'd have to cite, but the way it is. Dave Cedarquist is here, and he has some information to share that might be noteworthy for your stories about it, because I think part of this is going to be underground to meet some of the requests of some of the landowners. Is that correct, Dave? Wasn't part of it buried?
No, not underground.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we talk about it going underground? Okay. I was trying to think, where did I come up with underground?
We're talking about it right now.
Okay, it is an underground. It's all along the railroad right of way or near it, so it won't be real visible throughout the community.
Okay. So this action you took today was your last on that particular project? Okay.
I wanted to clarify the lighting rules on wind farms. So the way I understand it, by 2021, they all have to have some kind of different lighting system than just the normal blinking red lights then?
Some solution, yes, by the end of 2021.
Right, okay. Do you know offhand how many would be affected by that versus the 19?
I did ask Jerry, that's why he and I have been going back and forth this morning, how many were approved since, how many megawatts since June 5th of 2016, and I believe it's about 700 megawatts. I still think there's one missing, which is Brady 1, but that was before that. So 700 megawatts since, have to comply with the 2019 deadline and everything else. So that's approximately 2,300 megawatts, and we could get you the exact count of projects, but 2,300 megawatts have the longer time period because they were approved earlier under different rules.
And actually, those the early deadline ones, the ones that got their certificates after that date, need to do that regardless whether these rules go into effect or not, because that was the point with that date, I believe. That's when we started building that into their certifications.
Yeah, they've already agreed to that.
Okay. Do you know where these biomass projects are?
Yes. Now you want me to recite them.
I'm just curious, you know, physically where they are.
Well, physically, they're in, you know, I know this is a general answer, but they're located in Minnesota. I believe across the board, I don't think any are not in Minnesota. Right now, I've got a list, not just of the ones mentioned, but all of the biomass projects that NSP has in its biomass portfolio that totals 177.75 megawatts is the actual number. But I could get that for you.
I'm just curious. One of them deals with turkey waste?
Yes.
And that's one of the ones that's going to be closed.
Yes.
I would assume that's Becker?
Benson.
That's Benson.
Benson. That's the Benson Power project. It's interesting. You know, it was a technology at the time that was thought to be promising, and it's turned out to be not as effective as other sources of energy generation. So, I better not comment beyond that until we get through the hearing process. But, yeah.
Apparently, turkeys aren't high energy animals.
I don't know that everyone thought it was so promising.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's considered an intermittent energy source right after Thanksgiving. It really fades in terms of biomass availability. But, I don't know. No. Okay, this is gone south.
There's definitely a turkey pun in there, Dave. You got to come up with it.
I'm just not thinking of it this morning. Except to put all of us in a foul mood.
You did go. Yeah.
Anything else? Listen, John.
He was trying to hide so
thank,
we didn't have to
thank you, John.
Foul comment.
Okay, we'll reconvene at 5 minutes to 11.